always love watching you rock out. It inspires me.
Yeah. Can't help with this song.
Well, I see all the guitars in the background.
Right. You notice there's no, there are no electrical lights on in this room at all. So I have the windows open. That's what's causing this on the side of my face. But none of my...
I thought that was a boil.
That's my head.
Oh.
You're, but there's...
Your boil has a head?
Yeah, there's no neon lights on in here or anything. We got our most recent electric bill, and it was real close to $500.
Oh, my God. You've been running your AC?
Well, yeah. It's called working at home. So,
What's it normally?
Well, it's not $500. I mean, that's one of the all-time highs. So, and I don't pay the bills, so I don't track it much. But, you know, Debbie made a point of mentioning to me. This seems, you know, it's high. So,
what
I mean,
do you run your pool, equipment on that? Your pool heater? Because you run your heater all the time, right?
Yeah. So, my heater. I rarely run the heater, but on the pool. But the pool pump, it's an intermittent pump. So, it pumps at different speeds almost all the time. But that's cheaper than having the pump come on full blast for 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
So, you get better filtering and stuff. So, there's that. But I think, you know, we used to have the air conditioning before this work at home stuff started. We used to have the air conditioning set to go to, you know, set at 80 degrees, right? Before, because we were both gone all the time. And then Debbie wasn't really running it because she's a cheapskate. And so, but once we had it set on a schedule, right? So every day at 7 o'clock or something, it would just switch to 80. And it would be like that till 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So since I'm home, the schedule's different. It's on permanent hold at 76. So in the last month, I mean, we've had some of the hottest days we've had all year in the last month.
I know, but in the last week, it's relatively mild for, you know, the third week, or I guess we're in September now, first week in September for California. But this weekend's going to be like over 100. It's crazy.
Mm-hmm. And we also, the thing that has made this go up a little bit from past times is Debbie's mom is here about half the week. And so, you know, I'm pretty sure she has stock in Edison because the effing light in her room is on 24 hours a day when she's here. So,
you know, and the prices have gone, you know, through the roof. I think we're lucky in SoCal. Well, anyway, with Edison, because SDG&E is even higher.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's really making, you know, I had a solar company come out and do an estimate. And so just to go up and do the estimate, they broke 3 tiles, which I made them replace before they left, you know, and then I sat out in the backyard and watched them. And every time he snapped one, I held up a finger, you know, that's one, that's two. And so, and then at the end of it, he goes, yeah, you're going to have to take all this tile off the back of the roof. Wait, hey, just get the fuck out of here.
How much can they save you with solar? Is this the one where you basically you generate power, you lease it back to the power company, and you get a discount?
Yeah, I think once you – I mean, you know, the cost for that outfit was about $36,000.
So that's one that you own, right? Because there's some that you lease, right. And there's some that you own.
Right, and I'm no expert on that stuff, but the owning one was really supposed to be better. And so the way that kind of worked was, okay – you amortize it out over like 12 years. And so 12 years from now, you're
not
paying.
Do you have 12 years?
Thanks. me and Joe Biden. It's really an open question.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 12 years. So to pay it off. And that was a few years ago. So, you know, then it would be completely free, you know. But they wanted to strip off the tile off the entire backside of my house.
That's pretty common from what I hear.
Huh?
It's pretty common from what I hear, yeah.
Well, I might have to reconsider it. I mean, the roof is old, but it's imperfect, and the tiles are perfect.
Why don't you just move?
Yeah, right. I heard there's a place down in San Diego, an estate that's a few months back.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe they're taking some applications for some people. I don't know. I keep a file that I've had for many, many years in my desk of reasons to leave California. I mean, literally for over 10 years, and it's getting a lot thicker these days, that's for sure.
That makes sense for you. Go ahead.
These fucking taxes are crazy. You know, I guess the California legislature has until August 31st to pass whatever bills or introduce whatever bills they're going to try to get introduced for this legislative session. So that came and went. There's a lot of stuff in there about raising taxes, you know, obviously with the supermajority Democratic controlled state of California, which is just terrible for all of us. And, you know, we, in one of our past discussions, and I gave you a compliment. I said, hey, you know, you, a Trump victory actually would benefit you personally versus a Biden victory, but you're, right. you're fighting for the principal, you're fighting for the other side. And specifically, I think you're, you know, fighting against corruption. But with this tax thing, it's just crazy what's happening here in California, because obviously there's a shortage, right? There was a rainy day fund of, I don't know, $50 billion, and we've blown through that.
Have we?
Yeah. And so now the solution is, well, let's just raise more taxes, which I don't understand. Governments all over the world do that, right? And in our country in particular, but in your household budget, whatever the case may be, if you lose income, have a demotion, maybe a spouse gets fired or retires, you just don't have that income anymore, you have to spend less. That's a fact of math. And I know they teach some crazy fucking math these days where 2 + 2 doesn't equal 4. But
it doesn't. It doesn't remote learning.
Yeah. I don't understand how they can just do that. And this whole soak the rich, I mean, I'm not in any of these categories that they're talking about. And, you know, in California, I think they're talking about a wealth tax of people with over $30 million in net worth. Again, I'm not anywhere. I'll never see that category, but I'm fighting for the principle. It doesn't make sense. You shouldn't be taxing people on what they have and what they've already earned. And California is going several steps further. They're trying to introduce legislation to chase people so that if you leave California, it's essentially an exit tax. They're trying to hold you to your earnings for the past 10 years. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I don't even know how they can do that.
I don't know enough. I'm not sure I know enough about that to go into a deep dive on it, but I mean, I've heard about it on the national level, right? Isn't that something that has been discussed about?
Well, yeah, Elizabeth Warren, obviously, when she was running her campaign, that was her big thing, is that it's evil to be rich. We shouldn't have millionaires and billionaires, because for them to be millionaires and billionaires, they've stepped on the backs of the little people, and you know, they've stolen from them. And those people can never be wealthy because the rich stole it. You know, they stole all the access to all the wealth that there will ever be and all the great ideas that there ever is going to be.
How is she not going to be president? I don't understand.
Well, you know, she could possibly be the Secretary of the Treasury.
What is the cabinet post we think she's going to get? Treasury. After Joe wins?
Treasury.
Treasury Secretary?
I think
so. Is that what they call?
Yeah.
Who's the current? Is that Mnuchin?
Yeah.
Now?
Yeah. I think. Yeah, I mean, what do I know?
Yeah, I'm not. It gets a little complicated. Yeah, well, I mean, in California, it's pretty crazy. I haven't really been following any proposed new taxes and cuts. There's just too much other national news right now. I just haven't been. But I'll have to bone up on it.
You got
to
check it out.
I will say, if it's not going to raise my taxes, I'm not sure I care if they tax the rich.
Well, I'm not rich. You know, I don't think either one of us are in any of those categories now. But that's not the point. You know, the point is, it's not right.
Well, I can
right.
see where you might be worried. You may be in that category.
Well,
someday,
you know, the really? Estate alone, you know, I got a lot of workers there. New York, the same way, by the way, they have a huge tax hole. And, you know, I don't understand the philosophy that, okay, we're out of money because we did this to ourselves. Let's not forget. And these Democrats are trying to spin it the other way. But let's not forget that it was mostly the Democrats in Democratic-controlled cities and states that were the first to say, we have to lock everybody down and steal businesses. In doing so, you have no income by way of tax revenue, and now your solution is, well, we're not going to spend less because of all these entitlements, those things we need, so we're just going to ask people to pay more. That's horse shit.
Well, I mean, I don't know if I could disagree with any of that on the face of it. You know, probably, you know, I probably feel a little differently about the root cause for why all that happened. But, you know, we talked about the state government and you talk about the supermajority. And as much as we look at the national or the federal government, you know, pretty much differently, I'm pretty much in agreement with you on the state government. I mean, I'm not a big fan of
every time you say that, I'm going to put it on a loop.
Go ahead. It's okay.
It's just going to stop it. I agree with you. And we'll loop that. Bring that into the intro.
Yeah. I know I mean, it's not that we don't agree on anything, but I mean, look, there's, it's too much of a, you know, I sent a Republican congresswoman, a California Congress Senate, actually, from Yorba Linda, that sent me an email whining about how she didn't get to vote on something because they had an in-session.
I saw vote. This was just the other day, right?
Yeah. 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 And, Vietnamese gal or something, I think her name. Kind of remember her, but she's not mine. Yorba Linda's not mine. I'm not in that district.
What was she looking for?
You know, that's a good question. She was blaming the Democrat controlled state Senate for holding votes on a day when she wasn't there. And so she's like, well, I couldn't be there because there was somebody tested positive for COVID.
Yep.
And I couldn't be there. And they didn't hold it. And so I was unable to cast my vote and represent the 35,000 people or whatever. You saw the email, right?
No.
If you didn't look at it, that's what she was complaining about. So I actually sent her back an email saying, hey, why don't you stop whining and get your ass into Sacramento where you belong?
Yeah.
Right. And just take your mask and go vote. You know,
I was confused by that story because I read a couple of different stories. There was a woman, I'm not sure if she was a senator, but she has a young child and she was not allowed to do remote voting or something. So she was on the assembly floor or Senate floor and had her kid and she was breastfeeding the kid trying to make her vote. And then I read another story where I think they were doing a Zoom vote. And all the Republicans got locked out and they weren't allowed to unmute their mics and cast votes, you know, and that's what this world is turning into is whatever side has the majority is just going to do things ugly.
Well, I mean, if any of that's true, I don't agree with any of that, even though they are Democrats. So that, you know, for me, there's this huge difference between what happens in, I mean, California has long been a corrupt situation because of the whole Willie Bat Brown political machine in this state, which, by the way, you're going to love this. If you didn't know this, Kamala Harris is a product of the Willie Brown political machine in California. I mean, he's the one that brought her up. He's the one that got her.
Yeah, noticed. But you're a Kamala fan, though.
I am a Kamala fan, and I don't really hate Willie Brown. I'm just saying, in this state, you know what the problem is? In this state, the Republicans are just weak. They want to whine and cry and they just don't do the work and they're not, you know, and there's, it's not like there aren't bastions of support. I mean, Orange County is, you know, still, I mean, the past home of the John Birch Society is still very Republican leaning. So, you know, they just don't seem to work it. Now, I'm not as familiar with Northern Cal and the whole thing seems like a tree hugging Democratic bastion of ridiculousness most of the time. So, you know, on those things, I mean, most California issues, I'm going to agree with you. I just have to hope it doesn't go too bad because there's no way I'm moving. I'm never moving anywhere. I was born here.
You might have to when they start coming for you.
I'm going to die here. It doesn't matter.
Well, if you die of the COVID in the next couple of years, maybe you don't have to worry. But if you live a long, healthy life, then you might change your mind down the road.
Maybe. That's probably not nearly as probable as you might hope. But you know, here's what I said when I moved into this house in 1997. The only way I'm leaving this house is in a box. So that's it. This is it for me. So I'm going to have to make it work. So I'm putting away my pennies. Now I'm thinking about maybe revisiting the solar heating thing because I'm not sure down the road I can afford $500 a month, even for 3 months out of the year. I mean, you know, all in all, it's too much money.
There's going to be less you can afford, the more they take from you, the more they raise your taxes.
Look, I could have more really big gas guzzling vehicles like you if I didn't have to pay that much in my electrical bill. I could have a jet truck and, you know, so on and so forth. So,
you know, even on that, if there was technology to replace some of that stuff, I'd be all for it. As soon as, you know, the Tesla truck, which is not really a truck. I don't know what that is. It looks like something out of Back to the Future, but can it actually haul a payload? Can it tow anything? Surely it can't haul groceries or whatever else we're shipping across the country, you know, containers on chassis.
Have you seen pictures of it on TV or anywhere?
Yeah, I have. I mean, it's like a little
sedan. Currently, the prototypes that are out there are currently like 20% larger than they can legally be on the street. So before that thing comes out commercially, they got to scale down every body panel on it and make it, I mean, it's bigger than a, you know, than an actual Humvee, right? Than
oh, yeah, it looks big. Humvee. But even still, yeah. To me, it looks like a toy. It looks like a toy, maybe an off-road vehicle. Maybe it has a bed space where you can haul some things, but it's not really going to change too significantly what it means to have a truck. I mean, you can't work out of it. You can't construction, plumbers, whatever, what pick an industry, roofers, you can't really work out of those things. There is a company I saw, which I think it's out of somewhere in Europe. Is it France? Nikola? Have you heard of that?
Yeah, I mean, probably named after Tesla, right?
Right, exactly. So. And I think they are making big rig prototypes. So they have essentially, I don't know, you know, like a Peterbilt or a Volvo type chassis, you know, tractor trailer type setup that is designed for hauling and, you know, long haul and big payload capacity. So I think those things are coming, but obviously we're not there yet.
You know, I've never been a fan of Tesla because first off, Elon Musk seems like a lunatic, but you know, he's had some good times recently, right? He managed to send some U.S. astronauts to the moon and back without blowing them up or killing them.
That was pretty cool.
Like that was pretty cool.
I want to volunteer for that thing. Get off this planet.
That might be a good solution for you.
Might be all I have.
Yeah. When they split the United States, according to your plan, you take the part that's out in space. That's what I'm going
to
tell you.
You know, we really have to figure this out because I have said that jokingly, but are there scholars that have actually studied this that, you know, are slightly smarter than we are to shed some light on it? Because I have to say, I think that it's worthy of a discussion. And I've said it before, the whole problem is we're just trying to force feed our opinions down somebody else's throat. We don't agree on anything. I mean, there's so much.
Now that we're going international with our access.
Here, yes.
Let's make it clear that I don't think you in any way are suggesting seriously that we should end the U.S. I mean, because there is a criminal charge for that. It's called sedition. So, you know,
I'm aware it's been tried before.
Okay. So be careful with that. So I think we're talking in theory and in general and not, we don't have any literal plans to split the country in half, but what would we call it? Have you thought about that, or is that too far down the road?
Yeah, no, I think it would be a Democratica and Republica. As long as we have a two-party system.
How do you split it? Do you split it horizontally or vertically or at a diagonal? Or how do I make sure that the South is not in the part I'm in? So
I don't know. It's going to be S shape across the map, I think.
I think I'd be okay if you started at the lower southern edge of California and then drew a diagonal line straight across the country. That would put most of the shitholes that I'm not ever interested in seeing or going to in Republica.
You know, I really don't have a dog in the fight. I might even choose to live in Democratica. I don't know.
Uh-oh.
I might not move. Or maybe I will move.
What the hell?
Maybe I will move to another territory in Democratica. I might not actually go to Republica. I don't know. I'm not.
Well, you could go to a less democratic Democratic.
I could do that. I mean, yeah. But really, you know,
you
what
could
I'm
move to Nevada or something.
Right. And that's kind of getting watered down. But really, what I want to do is teach them. I think the Democrats need to be taught a lesson. And that is they create nothing and they take everything. And what we're seeing is this crazy socialist, Marxist extreme that has infiltrated what used to be the Democratic Party, and certainly those who were more center than left. Everybody's left. It's crazy to me to think that that's the party that could potentially be in power, and they are getting behind some of these ludicrous ideas. And a lot of it, again, I'm a capitalist. I'm a proud capitalist, even before, I guess that's a bad word now, you know, essentially you can't have millionaires and billionaires because capitalism is bad. I never would have thought that even just 3 or 4 years ago. But I'm a proud capitalist, and I think there are no jobs until someone sells something. I think these billionaires deserve to be billionaires. They created an idea that nobody else had, and they sold something everybody else wanted.
Isn't the discussion around that, isn't that really more a matter of, hey, on average, billionaires pay no taxes?
No, And I'm not looking at a chart, so I don't know who pays taxes and who doesn't. But here's the reality is that most wealthy people don't take income in the form of W-2 wages. They take it in the form of dividends. Warren Buffett, for example, he's one that is outspoken that he pays a lower tax rate than his secretary, and he wants to pay more taxes. And that's because his salary is like $80,000 or $100,000 a year or something like that. So, and I'm not sure, I think he's in Nebraska, so whatever the tax base is there plus his federal tax rate, he's being taxed as an employee, W-2 wages every 2 weeks or how often he gets paid at that rate. And then just on the side, he makes $4 billion a year in dividends or whatever the number is. And that's taxed at a lower rate. It's, I don't know, 20%. So you take the top marginal federal rate, currently, I don't know, 37%. Biden wants to bump it up to 39 and some change. And then whatever state tax base you're in, like for us in California, we get fucked again because we're already 13 and something is a high, which they're also proposing to go up even more to 16.5. So when you are looking at a dividend base of, say, 20, that's a lot lower. And so that's why most of those guys take dividends. Now, I'm okay with that too. Why? Because a dividend isn't guaranteed. And you saw through COVID, there were several big name publicly traded companies that for the first time considered not paying dividends. And I don't remember some of the names, but I heard them at the time on some of the news channels. Mm-hmm. I don't know, maybe AT&T or Coca-Cola. Again, I don't have the exact details, but some of these companies were saying, hey, we don't have the cash to pay these dividends and we need to conserve cash. And then it was the height of the shutdowns and the market crash. Nobody knew how bad things were going to be. So the point is, if you are heavily invested in those stocks or a founder in one of those businesses that like an Elon Musk or what's the Facebook guy's name?
Bezos.
No, that's Amazon.
Oh, Amazon. Oh, yeah, just blew it out of my
mind.
Who
you know who I mean.
Yeah, Mark something or other, right?
Zuckerberg, that's it.
Mark Zuckerberg.
So these guys, they get paid dividends based on the value of the stock that they own. But the value of the stock that they own could change overnight, and it does, and it did, as we saw in the market crash. Sometimes bad, sometimes good. So whatever time they decide to pay these dividends, that's how much you're going to get paid, the value of the stock and how much you own at the time they're going to pay it. That could be gone overnight, and that's my point. There could be another Amazon. Somebody could uproot that and come up with the next big idea and make Amazon obsolete. I mean, how many companies can you name that are in existence from the founding of our country? Probably none. There were several big name companies that dropped off the Dow Industrials list, I think just in the last week or two. Legacy companies, you know, the big names that you've heard of that just aren't big enough to make that list, and they've been supplanted by other companies that have, you know, moved up the charts. So
all the stock market stuff is being supported by the big, by a handful of big tech companies that are pumping up everything, that have done well during COVID, but right. Many of our more traditional companies, not so much.
So think about the tax situation for a minute, which I think Biden is talking about. He wants to tax dividends as regular income, meaning just as high, whatever your top rate is. So the federal rate that he would change, presumably just shy of 40%, and then whatever your state tax base is, that could potentially double the amount of tax that somebody who's earning dividends could pay. And it's not just the Warren Buffetts. There are plenty of hardworking Americans that have saved up money. They've invested over the years for retirement. They're invested in stocks. Maybe they sold a business or whatever, and they've had some money put away to grow over their lifetimes. And they are living off residual dividend income. I know people who are in that situation, mm-hmm. but they're not, these aren't like billionaires, right? These are people who essentially are, you know, supplementing their Social Security. So a couple thousand here in dividends, couple, you know, 1500 in Social Security, whatever it is. And that's a big deal. So as soon as that tax is doubled, that's a game changer. And I think that's wrong. And I think it's wrong for the super wealthy to say, well, we think everybody should pay more. Well, then pay more. And don't make me pay more.
So I can't, unfortunately, I don't have enough insight into some of that to discuss that again in a deep dive. But let me ask you this, since it seems like you have a pretty good grip on it. What about the contention that a company like Amazon is virtually paying no tax to the federal government. So not so much Bezos himself.
Yeah, but no, I know.
Companies like that. Is it not correct that there are many large companies that virtually are not paying any tax by the time they all the loopholes and the this and that and the other? And again, not an expert on that. So kind of asking the open question.
I've heard that argument. And yeah, I don't know who they are, but Amazon is a target. I think Amazon is the reason why Biden has suggested a minimum corporate tax, whatever it is. I don't know what rate or how they figure it out, but that's what he's trying to get around, is companies that are that wealthy or they're worth that amount of money because of the value of their stock, and they pay no federal tax.
Yeah.
I'm not an accountant. I haven't seen their financials, but my guess is that it's because they have deductions. They have write-offs. They have things that are depreciated over whatever schedule. Could be, you know, they have a shit ton of vehicles, could be real estate, could be drones, could be.
But it's obviously creating a giant amount of inequity. And so
I got a problem with that word too. But yes, go ahead.
Yeah, let me say so let's just stipulate that everything you said on this subject so far is, you know, is true. So the end result is that we have, what are the numbers? I don't have it in front of me.
Well, and so here's the point.
Huge amounts of wealth concentrated in the top couple percentage of either people or companies.
But that doesn't change whether or not they pay tax, doesn't change somebody's wealth. So let's say they have a tax liability, hundreds of millions of dollars in tax liability. Bezos is still worth what he's worth because the value of the stock and the amount of stock that he owns doesn't change his wealth. And I'm presuming, without looking into their case, that they're not doing anything illegal. They're taking advantage of tax deductions that are available to them.
Yeah, and in asking this and discussing this point, I'm not saying anybody's doing anything illegal. So this is not a matter of corruption. This is a matter of, you know, format or design and what might be wrong with it. I mean, here's the thing. One way or the other, whatever the reasons are, we have this it's been, and I'm taking this as fact, and you may or may not agree with this, but that there's this lopsided accumulation of wealth in the upper couple percent of the population. And, you know, on one side, I'm like, hey, you know, more power to you. You're smart. You did what you need to do. But something's wrong if that's happening if that is happening to the rate that it is reported, something is not set up correctly. I'm not saying anybody's done anything illegal or even immoral. And I think when you hear a Warren Buffett say, hey, I want to pay more. I should pay more. I have so much money. I think what you're hearing are people where it can never hurt them, just saying, hey, it's not working. The wealth distribution is, and here's the problem. It's ending up to be so out of whack that eventually, don't you think that people are going to, they're just going to rebel against that, don't you think? And well, would you blame them?
I think they will rebel, and there's a way to do it. But I don't believe a capitalist system is not set up to be equal, Mike. The whole point is that.
And it's not about equality. It's about inequity. It's about, which I know means inequality, but it's the amount. It is the extreme. I mean,
nobody is saying
it should be equal, that everybody should have the same amount.
But what are you
going
to do with the wealth? Okay, so you take it from one group because they have too much, right? That's the argument, which I don't agree with at all. What are you going to do with it that makes it more balanced? Literally, you're going to fly a helicopter over and give people money that you took from the wealthy companies.
No, you're gonna,
what are they going to do with it?
Pay people more. I mean, we had so.
But if you do it from a tax base, if the federal government requires these businesses to pay more in tax, they're going to pay people less because they have less working capital to pay people. So, to your point about the rebellion, that should happen naturally through the market. That's the way it should happen. I don't think there should be unions. I don't think there should be minimum wages. If I want to pay somebody 3 cents, guess how many people are going to work for me? Zero.
So why hasn't it? Why isn't it happening?
I don't know, but here's the problem I have.
Let me
finish my point on this. The reason why government needs to get out of the way is because those businesses do not have a right to exist. They don't have a right to exist. They don't have a right to succeed. They had an idea that they created that nobody else thought of and everybody wants. The minute that they can't respond to their customers, they have failed. Their customer isn't the government. They shouldn't appease the government, who's going to tell them what to pay people and how much tax they should pay. Their base is the customer. If somebody isn't buying from them, they're gone. And there is no success and there is no tax base. What do you do then?
Well, I don't know. But I mean, I think you have to analyze the how things got to this situation, how this has occurred. If you're just like, hey, I don't know, and that's not part of the – of course it's part of the discussion.
I know how it occurred. It occurred by allowing people to freely develop ideas and come to market with those ideas. And it developed by having government get out of the way. And it's only getting worse by government intervention. So give me an example of what government can do to make it better. How government can level the playing field.
Hey, I'm not here. I'm not talking about what government can do. You are. I'm just talking about, look, this is going to be a problem. Okay. Eventually, the distribution of wealth in the country is going to be so lopsided.
What does that even mean, the distribution? There's no warehouse of wealth. Travis,
again, I don't have them in front of me. So
I know. We're just.
I'm going to riff them. Okay?
All right, let's riff.
It's like the top 2% have 80% of the wealth.
They also pay all the taxes.
They don't pay shit. They don't pay the taxes, and they don't.
They do.
Most of the tax. Listen, this I know is a fact.
Hang on. Mike's facts.
Turn my level down.
No. I'm going to keep a chart here. Mike's facts. Go.
Yeah. Right. Write this down. You have it on the recording. So here's the thing. I lost my train of thought now.
Sorry.
That's the problem.
Sorry,
the
Joe.
Listeners.
Sorry, Uncle Joe. You'll get it back.
Yeah. You know, as long as you're not comparing, you can compare me to Joe Biden all you want. At least he's not an amoral, greedy, sadistic piece of shit. So, if you want to compare me to him, we're both older. Yeah, I get that.
It's sad that those are our choices, but we were talking about wealth distribution, and I said there's no distribution warehouse of wealth. So that's what we were talking about. Where is this distribution hub that I should go to?
Look, I think the simple fact of it is that because we, I think deep down all Americans feel like they support free enterprise, and having run a business in California for 25 years, I certainly understand the feeling of the government or the regulators foot on our collective neck. It was just such a popular saying right now. I understand all that, but even with that understanding and having said that, it's becoming so lopsided because something is out of whack. And
what does that even
mean? I'm
getting
fan.
A hand cramp here writing your facts down.
Don't write all this down. I'm not a fan of unions either, but it is obvious to me when, how do we put this? I mean, there are some real trigger words that I know we don't like living wage and all this kind of stuff, but there always have to be standards. And I think that the standards are out of whack. I mean, this is how I see this problem develop is that we have depended on business to be fair as you can expect a business to be. And I think that the fact of the matter is that over the last, 20, 30 years, corporations have become much less fair. And look, I understand the world's not a fair place. I get all that kind of stuff.
Would you like a trophy?
We're just talking about general standards here, right?
Well, I'm not trying to be a dick, but what does all this really mean? What are you saying? What do you mean fair? Like,
well, companies are making so much profit, and
some aren't. I mean, that's a pretty generalization there.
It is, but in general, it's the cause. I mean, the general cause of the wealth inequity is.
So what you're saying is
that has developed is because companies have been able to reap gigantic profits by not paying their workers enough. And
what does that mean?
The fact that in this country we have poverty and people don't have enough food. This kind of stuff is evident.
In the last couple of years, before the Democrats stole our businesses in the name of COVID, we had record unemployment, we had business growth, and we had people.
You had record underemployment is what you had. You had a lot of people working, but a great deal and many more than in the past were underemployed. So the numbers are a little bit false. yeah, we were down to 3% unemployment and it was hard to find workers, you know, at that point, because everybody seemed to have some kind of job. But
yeah, and I'm not saying, okay, this president versus that president did a better job at that. I'm just saying, look at the facts coming out of the Great Recession from 2008. Things were pretty good in the last couple of years
as a country.
Listen, look at where we were coming out of the recession in the last couple of years. Things were looking pretty good, and more people were working in the last few years than obviously 10 years ago. Here's the point.
That's true.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. I believe that what you are worth is what someone else is willing to pay you for your skilled labor, for your expertise, what you bring to the table. And if this many people were ready to come back to work and they felt like the wage wasn't enough, why did they take the job? I think if enough people revolt, I mean, look at this country is upside down, Mike, mostly because of racial tensions, you know, some of it economic tensions. And here we were coming up on the election. I think all that combined is a goddamn, you know, tornado in our country. But the point is, you see what happens when people are passionate. They get behind things. They create movements. They create change. And we can talk a lot about that. But if there really was, I believe, issues with equality and wages in particular and the labor force, there needs to be another movement to address that. It doesn't happen with government. If people were refused to go work at McDonald's because even the $15 an hour minimum wage isn't enough, it needs to be 20 or 25 or 30, we don't need government for that. Because if you are only going to work for $30 an hour and the guy next to you says, well, shit, I'll do it for 15. Guess what? The baseline is 15 because I now have labor
maybe
for that.
That's
rate.
The answer. I mean, really, I'm asking you if you have a feeling about what the answer might be, what needs to be done.
Here's what I think. I think
movement, then that's reasonable.
And I
never made the case that it was government that had to make this happen.
But we were talking about taxes, and the problem is that these corporations get away with murder because they don't pay taxes, and therefore, .. That's a, you know, somehow they're taking an advantage of the workforce. I don't see the connection.
No, they're
there.
Fucking the workforce. It's way past taking advantage of them, Travis.
But listen to me. If these guys pay taxes or didn't pay taxes, whatever it is, and the workforce says, hey, we're not coming to work unless we get $30 an hour, that's the new baseline. But it's not. People are working for less. And here's what I think. I'm not an economist. I'm not qualified to, you know, study any of this. But that's the whole point of the podcast, right? We're not qualified to do anything. That's why we're podcasting.
You're a junior lawyer.
I pretend to be, but I just think that somebody needs to study this a little bit, what the long-term ramifications are going to be. I'm not in favor of unions. I'm not trying to say, hey, we need to have civil unrest to, you know, spark employment controversies. But what I think one of the biggest elements is,
it's kind of what it sounded like.
I think shit just costs too much. That's what I think is one of the biggest problems. I mean, even just in the last couple of years, can you think about where, and you know, the average income in certain areas in Southern California, I think, is a lot higher than several places across the country. But pick an income bracket, $50,000 a year, $75,000 a year. And I'm not even sure what the poverty level is now. But there was a time when those numbers were significant, where you would look at those numbers and say, that's a pretty decent living. And maybe in parts of the U.S. it still is. But it's not here. And why is it not here? Because shit costs too much. Are we just going to keep...
Huh? Let me interrupt.
Yeah, interrupt me. Right
there. I mean, to me, it sounds like we're saying the same thing. I mean, I don't think there's a difference between things cost too much and people don't make enough money.
I think that's
the same thing. It's two sides of the same coin.
No, you create inflation by paying people more. It just floods the market with more money. Then shit, the prices drive up. The biggest one is housing, right? We talk about that all the time in California.
One of them you've got to control one way or the other.
I say we control housing.
No.
Yes.
One has to be either cost or wages.
No, housing.
Which one do you control?
Housing. Let me throw one out there.
You know what? Have you considered being a politician?
Because God, no.
I'm going to say you're pretty good at answering the question. Instead of answering the question I'm asking, you're pretty good at answering the question you wish I'd asked you.
Yeah, that's an old Robert McNamara trick, by the way.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, you're good at it. So
thank you. Getting back to the whole tax issue.
Isn't that a government thing, though? I mean, how can we talk about that if it's taboo to say, you know, that government plays no role in the fix?
Well, if the argument is this, hey, no matter what, you must pay a tax, and that's not unprecedented. We have that in the state of California. California corporations, even if you make no money, not because you, you know, try to take advantage of some tax loopholes, let's say you just literally were unprofitable and didn't make money, you still have to pay a minimum state tax under your corporation. It's $800. So that's already there. So it's not unprecedented. And of course, leave it to a state like California to, you know, have shitty ideas that the federal government wants to pull from. But that's essentially, I think, what Biden is saying, is that no matter what, there will be a minimum tax. I haven't read it. I'm presuming it's some type of tiered progressive tax structure. I'm guessing it has to do with number of employees or revenue, or I don't know what it is, but that's really the question. Should a company be forced to pay taxes? So in effect, what you're really doing is you're, in my opinion, you're picking and choosing what deductions are not applicable in that situation. So I think the argument is just flawed. Like, Amazon is a target, Mike, because they're Amazon, and you have a famous CEO who, I'm not saying he flaunts his wealth, but, you know, people know that he's wealthy. They talk about the stock price all the time. He pushes
Didn't it just split or something? Didn't three or four of these major, didn't Tesla and Amazon and Apple just all split this week?
I know Apple did. I don't know about the other ones. But
yeah, I'm not 100% positive about Amazon. I don't know.
And you know why that's happening? Because people want the fucking stock. It's in high demand. People want to ride the wave and make money from these companies. The better these companies perform, the better the shareholders perform. And the shareholders aren't the owners. It's people who own the stock. These are publicly traded companies. And why is that bad?
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying there is an equity problem that is going to need to be addressed. And I think we need to be, instead of just saying, no, that's communism.
It is communism. How do we fix it? How do we address the equity problem?
Communism, look, you know, we all know that socialist ideas about things are not inherently bad.
They're fucking terrible.
That's not necessarily true.
It's necessarily true.
Like every tenet of democracy and stuff isn't correct all the time, right? So, you know, you got to get past some of that stuff. Not talking about a communist state, but I mean, the fact is that some things in a society need to be handled by society. Not everything can be left to the free market.
Why not?
That's because it's too, you know, you're going to like this. It's too
big. Am I still taking notes here?
Complicated.
Is this still under your facts?
No, this is under the facts. I mean, I can only tell you that I'm doing the best I can to answer some, you know, ideas that, you know, I mean, this is the thing. We just kind of do these, you know, kind of as they come up in our brains.
But help me. I mean, that really is the truth. And that's what I like about it is, I think more people need to have these discussions and flesh out these ideas. I'm not
exactly
pigheaded enough where I have a platform and I'm saying, this is the way we must do it. You know, challenge me. Where am I wrong? I'm still not understanding your point about the inequality and how this is going to be fixed by taxing the Amazons of the world.
That's not what I said was going to fix it. I'm just pointing that out as an example of how some of these inequities build and get to the way they are. And some way or another, you have to explain how such a small amount of people are now in control of so much wealth. There is something inherently wrong with that.
But who owns I mean, why? Why is there something inherently wrong? Because the system allows for everybody to have
because
money.
None of those motherfuckers make that money.
Oh, stop it.
They're making it on the backs of the rest of us. So, you know, it's fine for them to be rich and so forth. But when it becomes so high that it's obscene, and
what's obscene?
And
why do you get to define what's obscene?
Other societal issues are not being addressed, then it's wrong.
Who gets to decide what's obscene?
Well, right now, it's whoever's got the most money. That's who gets to decide. And it's society that gets to decide, not who collectively, right? And in through the process that you just said you're in favor of, through discussion. But the fact is that it can't be correct that there's no limit to how far out of balance the wealth in this country can be.
It is the system
for society to function.
Mike,
okay?
What I think is unbalanced, if you want to call it that, is the amount of people who are wealthy versus the amount that are not. Certainly, that is a pretty obvious picture. But what is not unbalanced is that that is available for everybody. Why would you, here's my question. Why would you not want a system that allows for everybody to be the Amazons of the world, come up with a great idea and take it to market? Why do you want to penalize those that have gotten there? Why do you want to continue that process and shine a light on it and say, look what you can do if you come up with something great? I don't understand why we don't try to exemplify that. Why are we trying to punish people and say, well, they have too much. Too few have too much. I mean, I don't understand.
Well, because that situation left to just continue to grow and get worse is going to cause, it's going to cause a revolution.
But it doesn't grow like a house plant, like my piss plant that you can see is removed. It's not behind me anymore.
Not today. Yeah, it's not here.
It didn't make it.
Threw it out, right? Or is your coat on it?
No, it's not. It didn't make it.
Oh, geez.
It succumbed to the COVID.
My condolences.
We're adding one more death to the COVID list.
Did it have COVID? Is it the first plant to get COVID?
It was comorbidity, yes. It did have COVID in its system because I have the COVID and I peed on it.
Yeah, his main comorbidity was having you take care of it.
Well, I had the COVID, as we all do, and I peed on it, so it had COVID too.
You know, this whole topic is I think it's a lot more fleshed out for you than it is for me, in the sense that I understand the railing back against some of these ideas, but what I'm asking for people to consider is that the answer to this is not ignoring it, not saying, well, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not the answer. That will be the answer to how this thing goes.
Nobody's ignoring it. People are exploiting it. Everybody. They're taking advantage of the fact that in a country like America, you can come up with great ideas and become rich. A lot of these wealthy shareholders or founders in these businesses go off and take their billions and do other things, and they start other companies that end up creating great services and products that we all buy and need because they're fucking fantastic.
What makes you think that paying people more and addressing some of these issues is going to somehow forbid people from doing that?
Are forced to pay more?
Whatever the answer is, addressing this problem is not going to cause people to not come up with great ideas.
Because here's the reality. The math doesn't work. That's why.
The wealth is so inordinately high among such a small percentage of people. There has to be something that they need to be doing to where some of that, not all of it, but some much more than now, is getting back, is funneling back.
I don't even understand that argument too, because the talking point is the rich need to pay their fair share. And I don't even know what that means, what's fair. And I don't even know where they pay it and what happens when they pay it. In other words, again, I think...
Well, here's the thing, Travis. It's not their fair share of their income. It's their fair share of their wealth.
What does that even mean? What's that fucking Picasso probably, behind me worth?
Probably, and we'll do this on another,
it's not really, it's a Buddha.
Another episode, because I need to get some of this down. But really, I think that the most common suggestion for this, dealing with this issue, is not more income tax or just making a list of the 50 most richest people in America and then taking their money. It's a wealth tax is probably
that
where
is
that
a terrible in. Idea.
So, but it is the answer.
It's not the answer. It's not the answer because it's punitive and
no, it's fair.
But okay, let's assume that we're going to go down that road. What do you do with the money? And how does that guarantee that you've solved this inequity? What do you do with the money? So you've soaked the rich.
That's how people that have that. That's how people that you, like you were talking about, that pay nothing in income because Bezos' salary is $90,000 a year.
Okay, fine. And so he's worth $1 billion.
His income is dividends, right? Which don't get taxed. So it just gets taxed
at a lower rate.
It's not enough. Then it needs to be a higher rate.
Says who? What are you going to do with the money? Do we have bloated spending? Yes. Are you talking about helicopter money and universal basic income?
You know what? Bloated spending, I have little and no patience for Republicans or disaffected Republicans or quasi-independents talking to me about spending. Republicans are the worst spenders in history. Check it out. When they're in power, Bush and fuckwad have bankrupted us.
Huh? I said, now we've struck a nerve, folks.
Yeah, we have struck a nerve because it's nonsense. Bush, in two terms, bankrupted us with his false...
I'm not arguing that. I said bloated government spending. Yeah, it comes from both sides. Maybe the Republicans are worse. I'll give you that. I don't care. The point is, what are you going to do with the money?
No, no, no. We'll figure it out another episode. I really have to go.
All right, dude. Let me take you out.
Play us out.
You got it.